844.
Netanyahu slams the UN for giving Ahmadinejad the forum, as he said, "Have you no shame?" Of course they don't. The latest in the push for global currency, and oh my gosh, the prediction of Armageddon for us, the U.S., if China and Japan doesn't buy the debt. And you know where I'm headed with that. So we're going to talk about a lot of money things during this show. Plus, a little bit later on, don't forget, in our third hour, so exciting, we have Nail the Score. The computer will randomly pick the game of the week in the NFL. You don't have to know jack about football. It's like picking lottery numbers. You just tell us which of the two teams you think will win and what you think the final score will be. If you correctly nail the score, you win our huge prize pack from ATN. Chock full of goodies, including a cell phone, movie tickets, and a whole bunch of other really great things. Hey, everybody, hope you're doing well. This is, of course, Kate Delaney, and you know the name of the show by now. If you so desire, you can chime in at any time at 800-259-5791. Throw your 2 cents in while it's still worth something. And we're going to talk about Afghanistan. Now they're saying the violence is much worse than expected. And, of course, everybody wants to know what the plan is ultimately from the Obama administration and all the leaks that have come out about General McChrystal's request for more troops, up to 40,000 more soldiers on the ground in Afghanistan. Ultimately, it's the question I just said. It's a giant question mark. What is the end game? Can somebody please fill in the blanks? And how about this, when we jump back to the financials, Citibank now saying they might sell or shut down about 1,000 branches in the United States and in Canada. So shaky doings when it comes to economic matters. But I thought we just heard from Ben Bernanke, the Federal Reserve Chairman, that we were starting to see shades of the recession going away. And, of course, the big story is this, from where our satellite studio hails from, the town of Dallas. Talked to someone from the FBI office, rather, in Dallas, and it was kind of nightmarish for people in downtown Dallas. The FBI arrested a Jordanian for the plot to blow up a huge building downtown. Wow. And he was, again, assimilating in a small town outside of the city. And of people are shocked. They say, what a great guy. He worked at a gas station. He worked 40 hours during the week. But the feds luckily nabbed this nutball, just 19 years old. What he was going to do, and ironically, I was at this place earlier in the day, had no idea this was going on. What he was intending to do was to blow up a car bomb today at Fountain Place. It's a 60-story skyscraper in the city. You can see it if you've ever seen the Dallas skyline, or if you, of course, have seen pictures of Dallas. It's a very prominent building that just sort of glows during the night. So Hussam Smadi had repeatedly voiced, I guess, his intention to serve Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda and commit violent jihad. He was on several websites saying this, and that's how the FBI was able to get a handle on this kid way back in May. So here's what happened in a nutshell. He did go through the attempt. He was underneath the building. He thought that he was in a truck wired with, you know, explosives. But what he didn't know is, because the FBI caught him, they set him up so that, of course, there wasn't going to be any jihad. that was a fake bomb material. So he was under continuous FBI surveillance. You had feds posing as members of Al-Qaeda's sleeper cell in the United States. Smadi, who was in the U.S., of course, illegally, allegedly told them that he came to the country specifically to commit jihad for the sake of God, and that was his intent. So as I said, he assimilated. He worked at a gas station just outside of Dallas in a small town, made friends with a lot of people. People liked him. People were stunned that that was his intent and what he was going to do. Smadi, in fact, identified several targets way back in June and then scoped out this beautiful giant building, Fountain Place, in July, because there wasn't a lot of security, and thought that this was the way he could honor Allah. This is what he could do. Now, before the arrests were made, of course, they notified a lot of the people in downtown Dallas. People came out of the building and whatnot. Clearly, there wasn't going to be a danger to anybody because the FBI got in the middle of this thing, and they were able to set him up. So now you've got arrests in Dallas, Denver, New York City, and, oh, by the way, Springfield, another place where you had people assimilating, trying to kill Americans, blowing up buildings or other targets that they were aiming for. This is getting serious. For all the talk of, oh, this was just fear-mongering, and for all the nonsense about what's going on with the CIA and the FBI, it's incredible that they've been able to uncover all of these things in one fell swoop. In other words, a lot of these investigations have been ongoing, but the fact that they've got these group of extremists, and Smadi, for example, stood out, and the reason he stood out is because he was definitely bent on actually conducting a terror attack in the United States, that he did not want to be stopped. So you had undercover agents communicating with him about 60 different times. All the conversations were in Arabic, which is, of course, his native language. And according to the arrest warrant affidavit, an undercover FBI agent first came across him online. He stood out again because of what he wanted to do in Dallas and how violent he wanted the jihad to be. So for everybody who thinks that this cannot happen to us, you have to wake up. We've been saying this all along, and of course other things have been stopped along the way in the last 8 years. But now to have all of these back to back to back, here's the thing. Weapon of mass destruction, the intent to kill Americans, they can get them probably for a life sentence. I mean, let's hope so. Can you imagine if he didn't get caught in that net of someone being alert and trolling the internet and trying to set him up, what possibly could have happened in Dallas? And a lot of people would have been downtown, would have been in this enormous building, this huge skyscraper. It would have been an incredible disaster, incredible. And most of this was only because he was very specific on the intent to serve Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. Ooh, we'll talk more about that coming up around the bend a little ways here in our first hour of America Tonight. But coming up next, 15 minutes of controversy. We talked about it on our last show, the pregnant Ohio woman waiting to give birth to a child of another couple. We're going to talk to an attorney who talks about what's wrong in this.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. September 24th, 2009. Gold opened this morning at $1,016. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,044.48, $522.24 for the half ounce, or $261.12 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,044.48, $522.24, or $261.12.
Hi, Ted Anderson with Midas Resources with an exciting announcement. Friday, September 25th at 7 p.m., two of the most influential representatives in Congress, Ron Paul and Michelle Bachmann, are putting on the Student Town Hall meeting, free to the public, at Northrop Auditorium University campus. The topics of this rare event will be monetary reform, limited government, and free market economy. Don't miss this powerful gathering. Again, dates for this event is Friday, September 25th at 7 p.m., Northrop U of M campus, or go to www.midasresources.com for more information.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. AirAndAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Don't forget, as we swing into another weekend, of course, we'll have our cheap movie review. Michael Moore has a new movie coming out. It's all about capitalism. We've got the scoop on that. But right now, I was just talking about this, as I said, in one of our new segments, the 15 Minutes of Controversy. This clearly was featured. The woman in Ohio and her husband, while they were stunned, she's expected to give birth in a couple of weeks to the child of another couple. And what happened here is she was accidentally implanted during in vitro fertilization. Pretty much from the get-go, she learned that she was carrying, it was a mistake, and she was carrying this other woman's child. She said she would take the baby to term, give birth, of course, and then give the baby to the biological parents. Right away, remember, we were talking about this, I thought, oh, this is like ripe for lawsuits and problems, and think of things that have happened in the past. I mean, it's a horrible thing to happen and a terrible position for both of these families to be in. But the question is, legally, what's the next step? And it brings up all kinds of questions, I think, especially with more people using, you know, in vitro and using fertility clinics and whatnot. So joining us on America Tonight is attorney John Myers from California. We appreciate it, John. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Kate?
I'm great. Thank you. Let's talk about this. So what about this couple? I mean, I'm assuming they could go after the fertility clinic, right, if nothing else.
Well, you'd think somebody should be responsible for really the gestational mother's wasted opportunity costs. I mean, what you had here is a kind of an unusual situation. You had two couples, both of whom wanted to have children and both of whom needed to use in vitro fertilization. And what occurred here is just a mix-up. And the parties actually seem to have acted in what seems to me to be a very difficult moral situation, seem to have acted quite sensibly by agreement. And so as among the parties, there doesn't seem to be much of an issue. But in terms of trying to support, I think really the injured party here is really the surrogate mother who expected to have her own in vitro fertilization and not someone else's.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So in that sense, it seems to me that the liability issue, I mean, it's like a malpractice kind of a case in a way. It's sort of like a failed abortion case. It's difficult to conjure up the damages, particularly when you have this notion of, is this a wrongful life of some sort? I mean, there's a kind of moral repugnancy to that issue.
Yeah. And you're, of course, a healthcare law expert. I mean, this is where your expertise lies, certainly in the legal field. This is a complicated case, to say the least. But if you were representing that couple, it's winnable, though.
Well, certainly the case against the in vitro fertilization clinic, it's almost a res ipsa loquitur case. I had and that means the thing that speaks for itself. I had the same kind of a case in practicing law where the hospital gave the wrong baby to the wrong mother after a very difficult birth on one of the mothers. They just made a mistake and using an ankle brace, they misplaced it and gave the wrong baby to the wrong mother. And clearly the hospital had some level of liability. The difficult question is, you know, how much is that liability? What does it go to? Actually, if you look at I'll call it the biological parents, they kind of have gotten what they've bargained for, although even there's an issue because the biological mother didn't get a chance to carry this embryo.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's funny you say that. That's immediately what I thought, because that's the whole idea. Okay, we're going to do in vitro, but it's going to be just like, you know, hopefully it's a healthy baby. You're going to carry the baby to term, and you're going to get the experience, the birth experience of your child. So, and the father as well, because, you know, he's not there to witness the birth, cut the cord, or any of that kind of stuff. So that whole entire experience is wiped out for that couple, obviously, as well. So there could be something on the other side of it. You have to assume that the fertility clinic, I mean, they must be just, first of all, I'm sure they're lawyered up, but they just must be a little bit panicked about all of this, because, you know, what do you do when this happens? And it has happened, as you know, before in the past. I mean, there is human error, but when you're talking about life, it brings up all these other questions, don't you think?
Well, I think so. I think there's so many variations on this theme. I mean, just for example, I mean, just basic issues like what does it mean to be mom? What does it mean to be parents?
Yeah.
Suppose the parties had disagreed about this. I mean, suppose that one party had wanted an abortion and the other party did not. You know, there's even kind of a feminist element to it. I'm not quite sure what if you take the feminist premise as the right to control your body, then the question is, can you contract it away? And if you contract it away, could you then change your mind and sort of what could a court do to enforce that right? So let's say that you say, I'll carry the baby to term, and under this circumstance you decide not to, or even under a contractual arrangement you decide not to. How do you calculate what the breach of damages are there? I think the questions are pretty profound. They're profound about family. They're profound about sex. They're profound about physical control of yourself. Certainly the abortion issue raises its head in a different context that's exceptionally difficult here, I think.
Yeah, no
kidding.
A,
you know, there's a Japanese case in which there were three embryos implanted, and one was also a mistake of the three. How this happened, I don't know, and it's I don't know much about the facts of the case, but obviously that's just another variation on things that can go wrong.
Yeah, no kidding. And you mentioned the case that you had where the wrong baby was given to the wrong mother. Does that happen a lot with the bracelets and stuff getting mixed up?
It surely does not. It's very, very exceptional, and that's what makes it almost per se negligence, because it just doesn't happen. And I think here this is a very infrequent circumstance. I represent, for example, here in Los Angeles, the sperm bank, and that sperm bank takes, you know, great effort to make sure that that things are tracked. But, you know, people are human beings. You know, computers go wrong. You know, people with the best will can make errors, and maybe there is even some kind of inherent error rate. But the questions that these things raise, I mean, take what would happen here if the if the genetic parents had said, because we lose the experience, and I mean, I know it's an important experience. I think anyone who has children knows this. You know, but we lose that experience, and so we don't want this baby.
Right.
And now the surrogate mother says, well, it's not the baby that I was intending. I was intending a baby that was genetically mine and my husband. What exactly happens here? And is this, this is handled in California, for example, as a matter of contract law, but there seems to be quite a significant public policy issue here.
Yeah, no kidding. I bet you it's great for the sperm bank that they've got you, because immediately they want to make sure they've got everything legally covered. As you know, I'm sure even with documentation, everybody has to cross their I's and dot their T's. The people that go through these processes have to fill out reams of disclosure forms and, also with their with health matters, but also in the private matters of keeping everything private. So that blows the lid off of that, too.
Sure, but that said, you know, we have an additional wrinkle even. I mean, with all the goodwill in the world and all the contractual paper, I mean, what do we have here? We have an unborn child that has, no one's even talked about this case from that point of view. Exactly what happens to this child when the child is either kept by the surrogate parents or by the genetic parents? Exactly what do we tell this child about its history and about its birth? In Australia, for example, the caring mother, the surrogate mother, is thought to be the mother by, as a matter of law. In California, it's just the reverse, the genetic parents, or in the words of a California case, the people who intended to conceive, they become the parents. So, it's kind of the default position, who has the first right, who has the best right, who has the strongest right, and ordinarily the interest is what's in the best interest of the child. But if you take the first example, what happens if no one wants this child? What is that child's best interest?
Yeah, boy, no kidding. I mean, it begs the question, what is right in this wrong embryo case, and what about the child in this whole thing? Interesting stuff. Hey, thanks so much for coming on with us. We'd love to have you back on sometime. Will you join us again on America Tonight?
Gee, I very much enjoyed talking with you. It's a very complicated issue, and I did want to say one last thing about to these people who have handled this so well. I mean, they have all of our goodwill, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%. I mean, it's amazing the way both couples, especially the woman giving birth, has reacted to this. Thanks, John. We'll talk to you again down the road.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right. Coming up next on America Tonight, terror in the U.S. What is going on? We have the latest, more details coming up around the bend.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week Start Page Challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of Start Page and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2-sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
Did you know that colon cancer is one of the most common forms of cancer in the U.S.? Did you know that the number one health problem patients complain to doctors about is gastrointestinal related? Health experts predict that almost every American will develop some type of colon disease, polyp, tumor, or cancer in their lifetime. If you suffer from constipation, irritable bowel syndrome, frequent gas, or other intestinal related problems, you need to take action. That's why you need Temple Cleanse. Temple Cleanse is a unique colon cleanser that works by delivering oxygen and magnesium to the intestinal system to stimulate a gentle yet effective cleanse. It's the most effective colon cleanse product on the market and one of the best decisions you can make for your health. To learn more and to order your very own supply of Temple Cleanse, visit HealthTruthRevealed.com. That's HealthTruthRevealed.com. Or call 1-800-593-6273. That's 1-800-593-6273 today.
All right, we got some headlines here on America Tonight, and then we head to the movies because it is the weekend and there might be one or two that you want to check out. Kate, hanging with you here on America Tonight. Some of the news includes that the FBI arrested a man in Dallas for a skyscraper bomb plot. He could get life in prison for the idea of using weapons of mass destruction to blow up that building. Of course, it was a sting operation. Luckily, they thwarted him. They were tipped to him back in May and June, and the idea was to blow up this building. And, again, it was a sting operation. A similar thing happened in Illinois. Now, the guy in Dallas was here illegally from Jordan, and the guy in Illinois was homegrown terrorist who was in prison, came out, said that he wanted to create some kind of a jihad, and he had sworn himself to the Nation of Islam. So, excuse me, they were able to, as well, the FBI in both cases, they were able to unravel that plot and set him up in a similar sting where he was going to drive with a car in front of a court, in front of the state courthouse in Springfield. And, of course, once he went to press his cell phone and blow things up, he realized he was on the hook by the FBI. So the good news is that both of these guys were taken down. The bad news is more of these stories are starting to circulate. And some of them are, as I said, radicalized guys from that were in prison or homegrown, if you want to use that term. Some are here in this country illegally, but either way, they're popping up in different areas. One's Dallas, one's in Springfield, and of course we saw what happened in North Carolina, what happened in New York earlier this week as that unfolded too. A couple of other things going on in the headlines. Justice Ginsburg was hospitalized, apparently lightheaded. Remember pancreatic cancer? She was fighting that and bounced back to work pretty quickly, just within like 17, 18 days, which is amazing. But during the day, felt a little bit lightheaded, took her to the hospital, did some tests, and apparently she's okay. And you think of the Supreme Court, and a lot of people felt that Ginsburg might eventually step away sooner rather than later, but she says she's fine and no indications whatsoever of that happening. The UN was the scene for, I think, the Three Stooges, because on our last show we were talking about Muammar Gaddafi, and of course Ahmadinejad gives his little speech and Hugo Chavez his as well. Can you imagine the three of them at a dinner table? The butcher, the idiot, and the nutball. And the interesting thing is, good for you in New York and New Jersey, because nobody wanted them to stay overnight at their place. Gaddafi couldn't find his Bedouin tent anywhere. And Ahmadinejad was going to throw a dinner party at the Essex House, and they canceled it when they found out it was Ahmadinejad. But, of course, he comes to New York and trashes the whole Holocaust thing again many, many times. And most of the people in that city want really nothing to do with him. Pittsburgh is the site, and, you know, you could say, as one of the headlines said, well, this is the United States, so isn't it the Obama, aren't the Obamas taking over the major role in this one? It's the G20. You've got a group of 20 nations that are assuming the role of a permanent council on global economic cooperation, for whatever ultimately that means moving on into the future. You've got the group of eight major industrial nations, of course, we know, and they are going to continue to meet, but now you have a broader group, which is the G20, and it includes industrial countries plus emerging economies like China, Brazil, and India. So there were a couple of things happening already, including, because we're a little bit nervous about our monetary system, the U.S. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, who talked about progress on a couple of different fronts economically, predicting boldly that the summit partners would endorse the broad outlines of a proposal to deal with huge imbalances rather in the global economy. And that means large trade surpluses in China and record budget deficits in the United States. So how convenient is that? What this is the Chinese are getting very nervous, and frankly, they have the debt dangling, of course, as we know, over our head, and now you have the rise of China's true economic might, their power. So, you know, you got to play nice with China. There's no question about that. Now, there were protests. There were some protests. They've been concerned about protests. Protesters banged on drums, chanted, "Ain't no power like the power of the people, because the power of the people don't stop," and all that sort of stuff. But that was expected. And this is in, as I said, in Pittsburgh. And pretty much throughout the day, the conversation was how to keep a fragile global recovery going. And there's some jangled nerves, certainly, again, concerns over some of the protests and all that stuff, and also jangled nerves over the call for the idea of global currency, which I've talked about a ton on America Tonight, because we're seeing such a devaluation of the dollar, and there are world leaders that would like to see the dollar, let's be honest, go down, no doubt about that. All right, it's time to hit the movies, and we will do that. There are a couple of big, big flicks out. Now, you can always tell, or at least they hope they're going to be big flicks, because you see them constantly getting pounded across the small box. You know, the previews, they're pushing it over and over again, which means they're spending millions for the trailers to be shown across the country. So we have four movies that we're going to let you hear a little bit about. The first movie that we have is this movie called Surrogates. This one stars Bruce Willis, and here is a little snippet of Surrogates.
Robotic surrogates combine the durability of machines with the grace and beauty of the human form to make your life safer and better.
The idea how a surrogate's head would explode from the inside.
What do the operators say?
Not much. They're dead.
If you're trying to imply a link between VSI products and an operator's accidental death...
I'm not implying anything. I just want to know how an operator can be killed by signals from a surrogate.
The idea itself is absurd. If it were possible, it would defeat the entire purpose of surrogacy.
Surrogates have jumped from bridges, been shot, even blown to bits without the least bit of harm to their operators.
What about a human hit? What would cause one of them to blow up?
Agent Greer, we're not doctors.
Honey, I don't know what you are.
All right, so Greer, who is Bruce Willis, is an FBI agent, and he finds a vast conspiracy behind the whole surrogate phenomenon, and he has to abandon his own surrogate is pretty much the upshot of this. The good news is you could probably get in and out of the theater in 2 hours because it runs an hour and 44 minutes, and maybe not, so you throw in the 15, 20 minutes for the previews, and this is Bruce Willis in a PG-13 flick that has a little bit of violence and some disturbing images, as they say, and a drug-related scene. They threw that in there. This movie's getting a lot of play on the small screen, too, and he's been interviewed all over the place. Michael Moore has another flick coming out that's been talked about a lot, and it's called Capitalism, A Love Story.
We're here to get the money back for the American people.
I understand, sir, but you can't come in here.
Can you just take the bag?
No.
Take it up there?
Absolutely not.
Fill it up? I got more bags. $10 billion probably won't fit in here. Want our money back?
I went to all the banks.
You've seen this guy?
Yeah.
Okay. We're here to make a citizen's arrest, actually.
And just drop it from the window.
And everywhere I went...
I'm going to take it back to the U.S. Treasury, right in this car. It's safe. You can trust me.
All right, so this documentary is 2 hours and 7 minutes long. It's rated R for language and some other things. And obviously you understand what it's about. It's more uncovering what he says is America's love of capitalism. Pretty much what he's trying to show is people who are upside down, families that are paying a high price, whether it's their jobs, their homes, their savings, you know, whatever it is. Supposedly, this is supposed to be a pretty decent flick for whatever that means. One thing I did find out about Michael Moore that I thought was encouraging, because, of course, he's made a lot of money with these documentaries. The people that he features in his movies, apparently, like whatever their plight is, he tries to help them. He gives them money. So that's nice, because usually that's the thing. It's so sad. The stories are brutal of some of the people. And, of course, there are going to be people that are upside down for whatever reason, a health reason, et cetera. And I guess some of that's illustrated, again, in capitalism. All right, we have one more that we want to show you, or let you hear, rather, a little clip of. And this one is called, I think you're going to know this one right away, Fame.
In the mornings, you're going to have all your arts classes. After lunch, you will cram in a full day of academics. Drop below a C average and you're out. No exceptions. Now, let me make this very clear. We don't care about your head shot or your dress size or your dreams of being in OK magazine, on talk shows, on the red carpet. Here, you will learn a discipline. Here, you will come to understand what being a performing artist really means. Here, you will dedicate yourself to your craft. Now, if you're looking for shortcuts, if you want fame, if you want easy rewards, I highly recommend that you get up and leave now. There are many very talented young people who would be thrilled to take your place. So, have a great year.
All right, Fame, it's the reinvention of the original 1980 hit film. Stay with us, birthdays and other odds and ends next.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-1099. 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
eCigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting eCigarettesNational.com. That's the letter E, CigarettesNational.com. eCigarettesNational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
Ready, set, let's go. Dance floor pro. I know, you know. I go psycho when my new joint hit. Just can't sit.
Celebrating a birthday when we get to our birthday segment. Michael Douglas and his wife, Catherine Zeta Jones, they share the same birthday. How about that? I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing if you're a couple. I guess maybe it's a good thing because then you can just, you know, every year you're just celebrating the same day together, so you don't have to necessarily have big old blowouts. There is a slight age difference between Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas. Can you guess what it is? Well, coming up in birthdays, we'll tell you all about it, I promise. In the meantime, news that is upside down and all around. We could talk about some of the wacko protesters at the G20. Sorry, guys, they're just going to club you on the head or tear gas you, but you'll get your 15 minutes on the local news and maybe on the national news, too. The bigger story on the day, the FBI arrest that we were just talking about, the Jordanian who was in the country illegally trying to blow up downtown Dallas, a building there anyway. The Illinois man charged in his own foiled plot to bomb federal offices. The terror suspects accused of targeting the Marine base in Quantico and, of course, an overseas target as well. And then the strange story about some men who took off after taking odd photos of the subways in Philadelphia. Having grown up there, it's called SEPTA, and what the cops are saying is that they knew something was going on because they had these men that were down there taking all kinds of pictures, and they were questioned by the cashier, and then they just sort of took off, and they knew something, the way they were shooting it, they knew something was a little bit weird. It didn't seem like it was a tourist by any stretch of the imagination. It seemed like somebody was kind of stalking the place out or casing the joint, if you will. In the meantime, the upside down, all around crazy news is a little bit different, and it includes this story. I don't know what this guy was thinking, but in Massachusetts, there's a postal worker who admitted to selling 30,000 DVDs. Yeah, he stole them. Now, don't you think it'd be pretty easy to figure out who it was that dipped into the DVDs because they're all missing from a particular area? So I am surprised that, you know, one or two or a little bit here and there, but to think that he thought he was going to get that many. So he faces 10 months to 16 months in prison. The restitution is $38,000. Wow. And they filmed him undercover taking DVDs from packages and slipping them into his backpack. That's how they, you know, that's how they were able to nail him. Oh, I'd be freaked at having to pay the $38,000. Isn't that ridiculous, Matt? He could have just gotten a subscription and it would have been cheaper for him, and he could have gotten all the movies he wanted for hardly anything, a song.
You know, people aren't very smart. We were talking earlier about how Dennis Quaid and his wife, they skipped out on $10,000 tab and ended up paying $40,000 in bail fees.
So, oh, yeah, no kidding.
People aren't very bright when it comes to trying to get away with stuff, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding. And someone like, it was Randy Quaid, and someone like
Randy Quaid. My fault.
Oh, yeah, Dennis will be calling the show because, you know, he's an avid listener.
Right.
Randy Quaid and his wife, I mean, oh, that was just nutty because, again, a very familiar face. Hello, like you're not going to know who that is, and it's going to be pretty easy for them to nail a guy like him. Stupid. Here's another kind of crazy what-are-you-thinking thing from Lakeland, Florida. Some police officers were playing video games while they raided a convicted drug dealer's home in central Florida. Surveillance video shows the officers playing a Nintendo Wii bowling game with one furiously jumping up and down in celebration. They say the officers could be disciplined. They're with the anti-drug force. They had just stormed in the home of a convicted drug dealer who was already in custody. And you can see them, I guess, on this tape taking breaks from cataloging evidence so they can bowl frames. Oh, well, you know, sometimes the job gets boring. So occasionally you have to do something to shake things up. But they should know better. I mean, with all the possible surveillance material on hand, and there's always cameras rolling. They know that now. I mean, come on, give me a break. And this crazy thing from Tehran, although I'm not surprised by this, Iranian police warned shopkeepers there not to use mannequins without headscarves or any of those that expose body curves because of their feelings toward females. And I saw a picture of the mannequins that were in question. It was like a little kid that maybe had some eyelashes but didn't look sexy or feminine to me, but apparently they're not allowed to use those in the stores. It's against Iran's moral security police, who are in charge of Islamic dress codes, and that's what they do. They crack down on men and women and in boutiques and small companies that don't enforce the strict religious dress codes since President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad came into office in 2005. Ugh. Once again, this is why we live in the greatest place on the face of the earth. Repeat after me. Anytime you get disgruntled, think about it. Would you want to live in some of these other places? The answer is no. No way. All right, this day in history, a couple of quick things. In 1789, if we wind the clock back to 1789... Well, first of all, let's make sure I'm on the right day in history. If we wind the clock back in 2005, the IRA officially disarmed. Also in 1789, the Bill of Rights passed Congress. In 1981, O'Connor took the seat on the Supreme Court, and of course now is an author. Sandra Day O'Connor had a book out. When did that book come out? I want to say maybe about 2 months ago. It was right about the time of Sotomayor's confirmation, when she was making the rounds and talking to people about her, you know, about her book. All right, a couple of other things worth mentioning in this segment. When we talk about the Cold War, back in 1959, Eisenhower and Khrushchev met for talks, which was actually a pretty big deal if you think about that. Disaster struck in 1978. A mid-air collision killed 153 people. You always hate to hear about things like that. in entertainment in 1963, Annette Funicello's first beach film came out. And if we go back even further, in 1913, Charlie Chaplin signed with Keystone. I mean, he was such a star if you think of those old movies. You know, I've only ever seen clips of Charlie Chaplin movies. I've never actually seen an entire movie. It might be interesting to sit down and watch one of those. I'm a big fan of the Old West. Don't know how many people out there can claim the same thing, but it's always fun to see what happened back in those dusty days when people were making their way across the country and had to suffer through unbelievable fates. In 1867, cattle pioneer Oliver Loving died of gangrene. Now, of course, you could still have gangrene, but usually you catch it pretty quick and you wouldn't have an amputation. You certainly wouldn't have died from gangrene anyway, as long as it was treated. As I promised, we do have birthdays as well, and there's a lot of famous people on the list. Do we have any birthday music?
Come on, people, we need birthday singers!
All right, celebrating birthday today, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Does she need an introduction? Everybody knows who she is, right? Best Supporting Actress in Chicago and a slew of other movies. 40 years old. Will Smith, The Fresh Prince, baby. Independence Day and Men in Black, 41 years old. Scottie Pippen, the sidekick to Michael Jordan. 6 championships with the Bulls, 44 years old. Heather Locklear from Melrose Place, once married to the crazy rocker Tommy Lee, 48 years old. Also celebrating birthday, Cheryl Teague, 62 years old, big-time supermodel back in the day, Sports Illustrated cover girl. Juliet Prowse, 73 years old, was somebody who dated Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley, was a big-time dancer, actress. Michael Douglas, the husband of Catherine Zeta-Jones, as I mentioned earlier, 65 years old, son of Kirk Douglas, best actor in Wall Street, and Barbara Walters, TV interviewer, host 2020 The View, 78 years old. You're celebrating a birthday. Happy, happy birthday to you. Make it count, whatever you do.
So long, farewell, I'll be the same tonight. I hate
not go gentle to that good night.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Good morning, Vietnam. What the heck is that supposed to mean?
Idiot!
Good morning!
Morning!
Good morning!
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.